Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on this President's Day, February 17th, brought to you by Hilbing Auto Body. If it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. We're joined today by the director of the Quincy Humane Society, Sally Westerhoff, and we're going to talk about a variety of things today, but she's really good at rescuing dogs, cats, bunnies, and radio show hosts who don't have a guest on President's Day. So with about 30 minutes of advanced preparation, Sally Westerhoff is going to tell us everything we need to know about the Quincy Humane Society. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you picked a good day to come, I guess, because fur ball.
Yes.
We need to talk about fur ball.
We do. It's coming up soon.
Tell us all about it.
March 28th at the Oakley Lindsay Center, and we're proud to have Star Radio as our media sponsor, along with KHQA. It's going to be a fun night. We have a casino-type night with a dinner, an auction. We have a band that'll play some music and get us all dancing. So it's going to be a fun night.
This casino theme has been very popular, and we want to make everybody aware you aren't really playing with real money, right?
No.
Right.
It's fake money.
It's fake money. It's sanctioned. You know, it's not one of those things where you're really going in to gamble. But with your winnings, you can bid on fabulous prizes.
Well, they'll get tickets that they can drop in a basket
okay.
with the chance to win of three prizes.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. So do well at the table, and you might also get lucky at the raffle basket as well. The fur ball has been going on for how long?
I think this is our 10th year.
Yeah, this is great. And let's talk a little bit, before we get into any more detail about fur ball, the need for fur ball. How does the Quincy Humane Society get its funding?
Well, from events like fur ball and Mutt Strut and generous support from our community, grants, bequests.
But no government help?
Nope, none at all.
None from the state, none from the feds, none from the city?
No.
Okay, so you are not taxpayer-supported in any way?
Nope.
Just local, generous people who keep you going?
Yes, and you know, in July, the Quincy Humane Society enjoys and celebrates our 140th anniversary of work in Quincy.
Wow. And in the olden days, 140 years ago, situations were quite different, and the Humane Society not only cared about animals, but they cared about children, too.
Women and children,
right. Women, children, and animals, all kind of castaways from society, and it's a great statement to say that we don't have, like, a little orphanage out at the Humane Society now that we have
right.
advanced in our treatment of women and children, but there still are some who, because animals don't share human status, think that it's perfectly okay to be mean to them or cruel to them or throw them away. And that is not appropriate, and that's not right, because animals feel pain and animals have emotions and animals get attached to people. And so if you have a pet that you can no longer keep, the best thing you can do is surrender it to the Humane Society.
Correct, yes. And, you know, I'm also on the 8th Judicial Circuit's Family Violence Coordinating Council, and we're looking to have a speaker this fall, a summit that's going to talk and educate us about the link between animals and domestic violence. So there is a great link there. Animals are often used as a tool to keep abused family members in line and in the home, because a lot of abusers don't want to leave because they don't want to leave their pets behind.
Right, or the abuser may harm the animal and say, that's what you'll get if you don't stand in line. So definitely there is a correlation. Jeffrey Dahmer, all the serial killers, they've all gone back, and in interviews with them, their parents, people that knew them when they were young, the common thread is they abused animals.
And bedwetting and fire starting.
Yeah, so yeah. Those are things that definitely, if you have a child and the child is cruel to an animal, don't freak out, don't panic, but it's definitely something you need to have a conversation with them about and get to the bottom of why,
yes.
of why that is happening. So because of the great work you do, because you don't get any taxpayer funding, fur ball and other events like that are extremely important. So who comes to fur ball? Everybody that loves animals, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the casino night is a big draw, because people can come, they can gamble with play money and be a high roller for the night. And so I think that's definitely a draw, but I think the cause is the core of why people come.
And at the casino night, what kind of food is served?
Well, Hy-Vee's going to cater for us, okay. And gosh, I help with the menu, but I can't remember, but we are going to have a couple of protein items, salads, and some sides, and we'll have some great little petit fours from Mrs. Venverlo for a tasty treat at the end of the night.
Okay, great. Well, if it's coming from Hy-Vee, you know it'll be good, whatever the selections are. Sally personally picked the menu, so you know it's going to be absolutely fabulous. The day-to-day work of the Humane Society, let's talk a little bit about that, because you know, we just had Valentine's Day, and there was shocking to me how much money people spend on their dogs and cats on Valentine's Day. But those are their fur babies, and for some people, that is their only child. So, of course, they want to spoil them. One thing we do have to be careful about, though, is I have seen some fur babies that are almost loved to death. They are really fat.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your own kid was that fat, you'd probably say, hey, you know, let's try to get on a healthier diet. We do want to admonish people that treats are fine, but you can treat your dog right into obesity, and they can have all the same problems, diabetes, heart disease. They can have problems too.
Absolutely. They certainly do, and lack of exercise. So we do have a dog park that can help people get their dogs out at least and let them run around, get some exercise, and play with other dogs. Cats, you're just going to have to figure out how to exercise them at home.
You know, cats are always pretty slender, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
And they seem to, they must be on the treadmill when we're not looking. Because cats, to me, seem to be pretty, you know, docile and not moving around a lot. And yet, when they want to run, they can really go fast. And of course, they have great leaping ability, so they've got great muscle tone.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow or other, they keep themselves in shape. But you can also get your cat too fat as well. And again, it's just bad for their health.
Correct.
So that is something that you definitely want to watch. Sally Westerhoff, my guest today from the Quincy Humane Society. Perhaps you have a question or comment for Sally. You could call us at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. The Quincy Humane Society is a no-kill shelter. They do charge for you to adopt a pet from there because the pet has to have all of its shots. It has to be spayed and neutered. It has to be acclimated and make a nice match for your home. And we'll talk about that when we return. That and your phone call. So you can be first up at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Sally Westerhoff, the director of the Quincy Humane Society, is my guest today. We're going to talk a little bit about adoption. The thing about a pet is a choice that you make, not just to play with that game for a week or two and then throw it away, but a pet is a permanent fixture to your home. And puppies are cute, but are they so cute when they grow up into big St. Bernards? So it's very important that you make the right match. And frankly, a rescue dog from the Quincy Humane Society is a heck of a lot cheaper than some purebred dog or specialized mixed breed dog that you're going to pay a couple of $100s for. And, you know, frankly, sometimes you don't know where those dogs have been or where they come from or what conditions they were raised in. So the Humane Society is a pretty good adoption source. Sally Westerhoff, talk us through what happens, because you've got to make sure the fit is right for the family and the dog or cat or bunny, for the, whatever you want to adopt. It's got to be a good fit. The animal has to fit well in the family, and the family has to be prepared to take care of it.
Yeah, I think education is one of our biggest tools that we use. We have a couple of great adoption counselors, Barb Hoon and Lori LaRose. Barb challenged me to mention her name while she's listening today.
She answered the phone this morning, I believe.
She did. And it's a difficult job, and people are often unhappy with some of our decisions, but we're the advocate for the animal, and we are responsible for a lifetime decision for that animal, and we just want to make sure that it's going to be in that home for its lifetime, and the family's going to be happy, and the dog's going to be, or a cat, whatever animal is going to be in an appropriate home where everybody is coexisting and happy.
it's important, and I think we take a page out of Barack and Michelle Obama's book. All that campaign, presidential campaign, one of the ways he's probably bribed those kids to be quiet was, we'll get a puppy. I promise we'll get a puppy as soon as it's over. But they waited till they got moved into the White House and they got acclimated. And again, that's important. So sometimes if you promise your family a pet, it's okay to say, but not on your exact birthday, or not on Christmas Day when so much else is going on, or not on, you know, the minute school's out. We have to make sure that this works together. And you have even visitation rooms where folks can go and kind of play and get to know some of these animals.
We do. We like for people to spend plenty of time, the whole family spend that time together. And when parents say, oh, the kids are going to take care of it, we're like, yeah, for 24 or 48 hours. Then mom and dad are going to have to kick in and take over. And I think most people realize that. But I think pets are great for kids. They teach them responsibility and compassion and caring for something besides themselves.
That is so important. And I agree with you. I think the parents will ultimately be the buck stops here, but they will have to remind. There probably won't be a day when you don't have to remind your kids, put fresh water in the dog's bowl, put food out at the appropriate time, same way for kitty cat. But this is important because, again, they are learning responsibility, even if you have to be there to prompt them. And so having an animal, having a pet, is kind of an important part of growing up. I kind of feel sorry for kids that live in a place where no pets are allowed or where they can't have animals. But that's also another way that maybe they can get involved at the Humane Society. They can come out and maybe walk a pet or be in the kitty cat room for a while and read to the kitty cats or pet the bunnies. Your shelter is open for people to come in and kind of communicate with animals.
Yeah, we have a very robust volunteer program and love to have families come in together and volunteer together. And it is a great way if your lifestyle is too busy and you only have a 30 minutes a week, that you can have that contact with the pet and enrich the life of an animal in the shelter until they find their family.
Some people are wary of shelter pets because they're not quite sure what the background is of the pet. But a lot of times an older, you know, everybody wants a cute, cuddly puppy, mm-hmm. but not everybody should have a cute, cuddly mm-hmm. puppy. Sometimes a more mature dog that's already settled in its ways, a little bit more of a lap companion or a little bit slower walker might be a better choice.
Yeah, certainly I'd take a 2 or 3 year old dog over a puppy. Like you said, puppies are cute, but they're a lot of work and responsibility with the training and house training and the chewing, and certainly when you get them through that, it's worth it. But and we do offer free training for our shelter adopted animals, so we do that in an effort to help people through those problems.
So by training, what do you mean, like potty training? And
yeah, we have a fabulous behavior team that volunteers their time to do training on Saturdays. And whatever it is, if you want to work on house training or chewing or walking on a leash or whatever it is you want to work on. And we do have some puppy classes that are hysterical to watch because you can bring the puppy in and they all socialize together. And the trainer gives training tips during that class. And so that's something we do encourage people to take advantage of, whether it's an adult dog or a puppy, to take advantage of that.
Whenever there is a small baby and a dog in the same space, there is a little bit of concern. How will these two get along? Let's talk about some tips for folks who've had a dog and now they're pregnant. So baby's coming. How will Fido react to a new baby?
Well, that's certainly a concern, and I went through that when I had my child. I had a little dachshund, and she was quite spoiled and was my baby at the time, so it was certainly concerning to me. So I do encourage people to do their research, reach out to professionals about how to make that introduction and make sure that the child and the dog are safe, because certainly safety of infants, toddlers, and children is, you know, a premier concern for us in rehoming animals. So there are ways that you can make that transition easier.
So just, you know, psychologically, the dog is going to be perhaps jealous or could say, great, another thing to herd, you know, another great addition. Likewise, with babies, once they start to pull up and crawl and they can grab a hold of tails and ears, and they don't mean to hurt puppy, but they could hurt dog. And again, most dogs, if they're your family dog, will be very patient about that and will extricate themselves and not nip. But dachshunds are nippers sometimes, you know, you have to be careful. And so just be careful whenever you introduce anything that's not able to care for itself, shall we say, and that would be a child, into an environment where an animal could nip them. That's always of concern. We talk a lot about breeds, vicious breeds, friendly breeds, friendly dogs, vicious dogs. And I know you have some thoughts about that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's best for your family. Are you a cat family, a dog family, a hamster family, a bunny family, snake family, a bird family? What kind of family are you? We'll talk with Sally Westerhoff from the Quincy Humane Society. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I'm Mary Griffith. This is the Mary Griffith Show, powered by Hilbing Auto Body. If it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. Sally Westerhoff, director of the Quincy Humane Society, is here. Sally, let's talk a little bit about dog breeds. You mentioned during the commercial break you have some Shiba Inus in the kennel right now at the Quincy Humane Society. On any given day, there can be every race, rhyme, and reason of dog at the Quincy Humane Society. Is there such a thing as a vicious breed?
Not in my opinion. I think there are a lot of things that go into the safety of a breed of dog. I've worked a lot of dog fighting cases in my role as a responder for the ASPCA, and I truly believe, I know, a lot of people say it's how they raised, it's not the breed, but I've seen another side of that, and I do think that specifically dog fighters are selectively breeding to bring out the worst traits of that dog, which are aggression towards other dogs. And most of those dogs are very good with people. About half of them are pretty good with other dogs when not forced to fight. But I think breeding is a lot. So yeah. It's a lot to consider when acquiring a dog. You'll want to see the parents of the dogs if possible. If you're looking at a purebred animal from a breeder, it's an absolute must
that you see where the dog came from. I mean, again, I'm not going to be argumentative with you, but if I had a choice with small children in my home between a golden retriever and a pit bull, I mean, obviously I'd take the golden retriever. The pit bull, the problem with any vicious or any dog that has that jaw structure like that is once they bite, it's almost a fatal bite. Now, dachshunds will bite quite a bit, but there's been very few fatal dachshund attacks unless there's a horde of them. But any dog will bite if provoked,
certainly.
And any dog will bite to protect itself. So that's why the more gentle nature you have. So when you go to the Humane Society, one of the things you do for people is, because you're the advocate for the dog, you're trying to get the best placement. So if there's a dog there that is not going to tolerate poking, taunting by children, you don't place that dog with
Absolutely.
A family that has children.
Absolutely.
And the same is true probably of size. A lot of people, we're getting more and more, were pocket pets, and these well, designer pets, like you mentioned, Labradoodles, Golden Doodles. Everybody wants a poodle mix because of the non-shedding. But they have to remember that those dogs bring different traits to them as well.
Correct. Yeah.
And so you can't just look at the coat combination as everything. How is the Humane Society? I bet you get you could have pocket pooches all day long get adopted, but the bigger dogs are kind of harder, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Most people are looking for a small or medium-sized dog, and we do occasionally have them, and they go very quickly, but there are also a lot of lovely, lovely large dogs that would make great family companions.
And I think sometimes people think a large dog might need more exercise, but Afghan hounds are notorious for, after they have their burst of energy, runoff. They like sleep 23 hours a day and lounge, you know. So a lot of times you think of a running dog as needing a lot of exercise, but they need bursts of exercise, but most of the time they don't. So when you're looking for a pet, obviously grooming. If you can't afford to have your pet professionally groomed, or if you're not going to be able to do it yourself, you better not get a dog that needs a lot of grooming. I mean, if you get this big fluffy fur ball like a golden retriever, could be a lot, or a Irish set or a collie, those are going to be a lot harder to take care of than, you know, a Labrador or something like that.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I personally would rather have a short coat dog. I have enough trouble getting to appointments for myself, let alone getting to my dog appointments. So, yeah, that's certainly an important thing to take into consideration when acquiring a pet.
Temperament, health of the dog, what kind of situation your family has. And, of course, the Humane Society is going to help you with that, because they're not going to recommend you get a dog that isn't going to be appropriate if your backyard is not large enough, if your house space isn't large enough. You mentioned the Shiba Inu, Japanese kind of dog. How do you get purebred dogs into the dog shelter? I mean, they're not all mutts.
Yeah, probably 15 to 20% might be purebred type dogs. If you're looking for one, certainly check out our website or petfinder.com. There are a lot of breed-specific rescue groups online where you can get that dog of your choice. And those are if you're looking for a breed-specific rescue, those dogs are generally in foster homes and are already working on their obedience training and house training. And you can really get a wonderful pet from a breed-specific rescue.
Of course, spay and neuter, we wouldn't have all these Shiba Inus. Spay and neuter is increasingly important. We've talked about that in the cat population especially. You don't let any animal out of the shelter unless it's spayed and neutered.
Well, it's a state law in Illinois. Yeah. They have to be.
And so the other thing I think you should encourage people, explain to them, it's not unhealthy to spay and neuter an animal. I think some people say, well, they have to have one litter, or they have to, you know, reach maturity. You're assessing human characteristics to an animal. Okay. It's perfectly okay to spay and neuter animals before they are sexually active.
Yeah, and I think that early age spay neuter prevents a lot of those behaviors that come with intact adult animals, like urine marking in adult male dogs. And certainly you don't want a male cat to come into sexual maturity, because they're going to start spraying, and then once they do, that is a behavioral problem that's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to remediate after it starts. And
so
it's easy,
even after they're spayed or neutered, in that case neutered, for a male cat they will spray.
No
they won't, but
no.
But it's, but
if
it's,
you get them before they start.
Okay, so let's talk briefly about the feral cat situation in Quincy, because there's been so many things said about how if we would just spay and neuter the feral cats and release them back to their environment, they would self-regulate that population. Some people think that's a ridiculous waste of money to spay and neuter animals and then return them to the population. Your two-minute missive on what you think needs to be done to cut down the stray cat population in Quincy and everywhere.
Well, we're not reinventing the wheel with a trap, neuter, return program. It's been in use widely throughout the United States with great documented success. Spaying and neutering those animals reduces the problems of fighting and yowling and reproduction, and it absolutely works. And I'm still on the bandwagon for getting one started here in Quincy and the surrounding area. There are a lot of smaller communities around us that are already starting them. Louisiana, Missouri has a program. Macomb has one. I've been contacted by other small villages around that are interested in starting programs, because what we're doing now isn't working. We need to be proactive and stop the reproduction We increased our intake at the Quincy Humane Society by 48% this year. A lot of those were bottle and infant kittens. That's not sustainable for us in an ongoing way. So we need to attack the problem at the source, and TNR is the answer for that.
Okay. Also, you know, when you have a dog, you have a dog, and sometimes, you know, it pretty much stays around your house, and it's your dog, and you feed it, and it's your dog, and it comes when it's called. People should not be feeding feral cats. They don't want them to starve to death. The problem is, you start feeding them, they become your cats. They are your cats. If you're feeding them, you should take responsibility for them. Yeah. And therefore, you should capture them and take them. I mean, they're wild. Capture them. get a nice pair of gloves on and get them spayed and neutered. Then they can repopulate in your area, but they won't be having babies, right?
Yes, correct. And it is true that once you want to try to spay and neuter 90% of a colony. And once you attain that, then that colony does keep other cats from moving into that territory, because obviously they're looking for a food source. So they're going to keep those other cats out. So, you know, you need to work from the center out and get as many done as possible. People in Quincy are very compassionate people, and we hear it all the time that they're told not to feed them, but people are not going to ignore the plight of these animals. They're going to do what they can. It may not be the best, but they're doing what they can.
So, again, if you decide to feed the kitty, then you have to say, this kitty is now mine, and at some point I'm going to try to capture this kitty, take it to my local veterinarian, have it spayed and neutered. That will be a cost on me, but then I can bring it back to my house, set it free again. The next one that comes up, catch it. Just keep doing it until you get your population under control. And therefore, you know, you can still enjoy the cats. They don't have to be, quote, your cats. They can still be outdoor cats. They can be wild cats, but they're not reproducing cats.
Right. And we have a program to help people with that financially. So if people are finding themselves in that situation, they should give us a call and see what we can do to help.
Okay. How can we help the Humane Society? We can go to the Fur Ball on March 28th and have a fun casino night event at the Civic Center with great food. And tickets are available at the Humane Society. How else can we help the Humane Society?
By volunteering, if you have time. There are a lot of great organizations in Quincy that need volunteers, and we're one of them. Consider putting us in your will, making a monthly donation, or just a donation when you have a couple of extra bucks to help us help the animals in our care.
Okay. Annual budget?
$525,000.
And how many animals do you serve each year?
Last year, we took in over 1,200 animals and adopted that. We did about 3,000 low-cost spay-neuter surgeries. And we have a low-cost vaccination clinic that we help people with. And those are done on Mondays, and we're always busy.
Okay. Sally Westerhoff, thank you very much for rescuing me today. And God bless you as you work with the Quincy Humane Society. Remember, folks, if you can't keep your pet, take it to the Humane Society. They will help you find an adopted home for it. And if you need a pet, come to the Humane Society, and you'll be sure to be matched with a pet that will meet your needs.